Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to each one of you. We welcome all of our listening audience today, and we pray that you will be blessed by what you hear today and that God will speak to you personally. And as I begin this message today, I've entitled it, Be Ye Holy, Even As I Am Holy. And we're going to be looking at a number of texts in the Old and New Testament today to help us understand God's holiness and what He expects from each one of us. Will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be here today, helping us to rightly understand what you're saying through your word. And I pray that it would be a blessing to us. It would give glory to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God says, be ye holy even as I am holy. But what does it mean to be holy? I want to take you to a New Testament text. If you look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse number 15. That's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. Now, if you have your Bible, or maybe there's one in the pew in front of you, maybe you choose to use your electronic device today, that's fine. And I hope that I'm not going too fast that you can't keep up. But if I go too fast, maybe you could just write things down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, beginning in verse 15, it says, But as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And in second chapter of 1 Peter, we look here in verse number 1. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you are not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. And in verse 13 through 17, it says, Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And in verse 25 it says, For you are a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You see, God has called us to be a peculiar people. Not a bunch of weirdos, as some people think of as Christians, but God has called us to be peculiar because we're different, distinctly different from what the world is like. God has called us as Christians to be separate from the world. And what's happening in the church today, and I'm talking about Christendom as a whole, we have taken on the customs and characteristics of the world so that there is not much difference between us and the world. It's sad to say. But instead of the church converting the world has had more of an impact in converting the church. And God is calling for us to be holy.
He's called for us to look at the things of His Word, the promises He's made, and His particular will for our life. And He calls for us to be holy because He's holy. But what does it mean to be holy? Well, the word hagios in the Greek means sanctuary. It means pure morally. It means to be morally blameless. It means to be a saint. Now, I want to ask you something. If you're listening today on the internet, or maybe you're here in the church, how many of you here are saints of God? Can I see your hand? I can't see your hand on the radio, but I know that there are some people that consider themselves to be saints. Now listen, I've said this to you many times before. We're not saints. We have not been voted into sainthood by some council, by some group of people who votes us into this position of being a saint and be elevated above everybody else. We're saints because we have accepted Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice for us. Isn't that true? And it is because of that that God makes us a saint. And that is who He promises to come back and take to heaven someday when Jesus comes back, is all the saints of God. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're considered by the Bible and by God and all of heaven as one of Jesus' saints. Does that sound good? Oh, I like that. I like that thought. But if you haven't done that, friends, let me encourage you today. I want to appeal to you personally that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you do not see yourself as a saint, listen to me. Jesus is calling for you today. He's appealing to your heart to come to Him and give over your life to Him completely and fully and become one of His saints today. Won't you do that? Won't you consider that? Listen, being a saint doesn't mean you're without sin. It doesn't make you perfect. It makes you a follower of Jesus Christ. Can we all agree with that? Okay, we'll be perfect when Jesus comes back and He makes us all new, according to 1 Corinthians 15. When He gives us this new body, this new mind, when He gives us something that is different than what we have on this earth today, then we'll be perfect. There'll be no problems in our life at that time. To be holy is the opposite of common or profane. And did you know that God is different than you and I? So many people try to bring God down to where we live, try to make Him our buddy, our friend, the big guy upstairs, or whatever they might say about Him. God is completely different and distinct from His creation. His people must be distinct and separate from the world, and we must be separate from all of the worldly unbelievers in the world that have attitudes and actions that are worldly and which characterize them as unbelievers. We must be separate from the world. We cannot take on their customs. We cannot take on their attitudes. We can't take on their belief system. We must be like Jesus, and He's called for you and I as His people, as His saints, to be holy like He is. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that's why he states here that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I appeal to you, whoever you are today listening, that you have accepted this call from Jesus to become a part of His royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that's set apart, distinct from the world, and more like Jesus every day. Look with me in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 11, I want to read verse number 44. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse number 44. In Leviticus chapter 11, beginning at verse 44, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." God is calling for His people today to follow Him. Do you believe that? And too oftentimes, too many people, not just people out in the world who have not accepted Christ, but are a lot of Christians today that are following more the practices of the world than the things of Jesus. Listen, friends, God has given us His Word to guide us and direct us and to encourage us with His promises that He wants us to live like Him. And he doesn't expect us to have the world telling us how to live. In Leviticus 19, in verse number 2. In Leviticus 19, at verse number 2, it says, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." 16 times in this chapter, the Lord himself says, "I am the Lord." He's trying to get something across to them. Every time he says to them, "Keep the Sabbath because I'm the Lord." He says, "Every time you eat something that's clean, I want you to remember that I'm holy." And he says, "Abstain," in Leviticus chapter 11, "from all of these unclean animals, because they will defile you." In other words, make you morally unfit to worship me. And so God tells them over and over the things that he wants them not to do. And the reason he gives for that is because he wants them to be like him. He wants them to be holy. Listen, friends, God is calling for you and I to express his holiness in how we live our life. Do you agree with that? That's what God has called his Christians to be like. His saints that are going to prepare for going back to heaven. God has called for us to be holy like he is holy. Holiness. Whether we think about this or not, this encompasses the whole spectrum of our humanity. All of our human life, every bit of our conduct, our words, our thoughts, our actions, friends, it includes everything. It also includes the law of God. Did you know that? In fact, Paul himself says in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, that the law is holy and just and good. And God is calling for us to remember his law, because that's what helps us to remember who Jesus is. Does that sound good? I think that's what God wants us to do, because when we forget the law and what God's requirements are for us as his people, we often forget the Savior. Because without the law, there is no way that you and I could understand what sin is. Without the law, we would not feel a need for a Savior. And without the law, friends, it's impossible for anyone to be convicted, to have any guilt, to need Jesus. We must have the law to tell us what sin is. The commandments are a transcript of God's character. It tells us about his holiness. It tells us about what he is really like. And God wants us to look at that law and emulate that in our lives so that we can be like our Father in heaven. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, reminds us that if we think that we can be good enough to win heaven, we have fallen from God's grace. You want to read that with me? Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Galatians 5, verse 4. It says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you who are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." Now, God expects us to be obedient. He expects us to follow his will for our life. He expects us to do those things that he asks us, that he commands us to do. By throwing the law out, we're not obedient to God. We become disobedient to God when we throw his law out. And if we think that we can keep the law and become good by keeping the law, and that we become more obedient and pleasing in God's sight because we're obedient by keeping every detail of the law, then when we keep the law and try to make that as a source of our salvation, friends, we have fallen from the grace of Jesus Christ. That makes sense? We don't keep the law to be saved. We keep the law because Jesus has saved us, and because our heart is filled with love for him, motivated with that love, we become obedient because Jesus tells us that's what he wants us to do. And if we think we can be good enough to win heaven, we have really fallen from the grace of God. It is God's grace that justifies us. As we accept this atonement that Jesus made for us on the cross, friends, we are justified. Obedience is good if it's motivated for our love for Jesus. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, obey me. Keep my commandments." It's impossible for us to be obedient to Jesus Christ without having a love for Jesus. There are a lot of people that have tried it. We see all through the scriptures where people have tried to do good without the Lord, and they have miserably failed. If we think that we can do this and make us good, and we can do something else to make us good. We're like a dog chasing our tail. We're just going around in circles, never reaching the end that God wants for us. God has called for us to be obedient to Him because we love Him. And if we think that we can be saved, when we begin to think that as we become more obedient, that we're gaining favor from God for being so good, then we are only fooling ourselves. We are falling from the grace of God. We're only good because of one thing. You know what it is? It's because of Jesus. As we invite Jesus Christ into our heart, we become one of the saints of God. We become that special people, that holy nation, that peculiar people that God has set apart to go to heaven. And anybody that will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they become holy because He's holy. They invite Him into their life, and because of that, they become holy. Remember when Moses stood before God at the burning bush? He said, take your sandals off because where you're standing is holy ground. It was holy not because Moses took his sandals off, not because the bush was burning. It was holy because God was there. And wherever God's presence is, it's holy. So remember this, friends, that when you come into the sanctuary of your church and you have invoked the presence of the Almighty God of the universe, guess what that makes this place where you worship? It makes it a holy place. And God is calling for us to be holy because that's what He is. We must show repentance to God. We need to have faith in Jesus and His sacrifice for us. Years ago, and I've told you this story before, I visited with an elder of my church that I was pastoring. As I sat in the living room, he sat over across from me in his easy chair, and we were talking for a few minutes, and then he said, you know, Pastor, I've struggled with a few things in my life, but I've gotten all of that out of my life except for about two more things. And when I get those done, I'm going to be holy. There's a real misconception about what holiness is. There's a misconception that if we do something, that makes us holy. And I'm saying the only thing that you can do that can make you holy is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because where Jesus is, residing in your heart, your life, you become holy because of Christ, not because of what you do. It is not about us. It's not about whether we're good or bad. It's not about what we do or don't do. It's all about Jesus Christ and how good He is. It's all about what He has done in making an atonement for us. And when we accept that atonement at the cross of Calvary, friends, when we make that ours by faith, then we become holy because Jesus' life, His grace, His blood covers our life. And we become holy like He is. And He calls us, because of that holiness, to follow in His will, in His character. He wants us to be obedient to Him because we love Him. You see, there's a change that happens in our heart from God's transforming grace. It brings us into harmony with God and also with His law. And as a result, we stop trying to save ourselves by being good. And we start keeping God's law because we love Jesus. And now we're obedient from the heart, not with this motive that, hey, the more obedient I am, the better I am, the better God's going to like me and I'm going to win my way to heaven. That's what the Pharisees of old thought. That's how they acted in the New and the Old Testament. That's what separated them from Jesus, because they felt no need for Jesus because they felt they were righteous in their own right. And there are too many people that think that because they do something different than other people, that it makes them more holy than anybody else. Listen, friends, we can't win salvation by our actions. We can only have salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get it. The law is there to show us our sin. It can't fix you or me. It can't cleanse us from our sin. It cannot redeem us. It can't forgive us. It can't do anything for us except point out the sin that separates us from our Father. Look with me, if you will, in Romans. In Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, at verse number 4. Now, you might perceive that maybe I'm talking about you don't have to be obedient. That we can just accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and everything is good. We don't have to do anything. That's a real misconception, friends. But if you think coming to church on the Sabbath is going to win you a place in heaven, you are really misguided. God expects you to keep the Sabbath. God expects you to be obedient to Him. But if you get this twisted in your mind, that thinking that you have to do these things so that you can be saved and you can go to heaven, you're really fallen from God's grace. We do these things because we love God. We love Jesus. We love what He wants us to do. We love it because He loves it. And we do it because He has asked us to. And we love Him enough to follow, to be obedient to Him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, there are a lot of people, see there? The law has been done away with. Christ is the end of the law. He's thrown it out. It no more is binding upon God's people. Well, listen to this. This little word, E-N-D, in the Greek, the word is teleos. And you know what that means? That means that this is the ultimate or prophetic purpose of the law, and it is to lead us to Jesus Christ. We cannot even understand what we are supposed to do to God, for God, unless the law shows us our guilt and our need for a Savior. This law is to lead us to Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, the law points out our sin. It cannot save us. It can't cleanse us. It can't fix us. It can't do anything but show us where we've made a mistake. And in Galatians chapter 3, 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith." You see, that's the purpose of the law, to lead us to Jesus. We look at ourselves. We see where we've failed. We've fallen down. We've done something we know we shouldn't do. Well, we can't fix that. Only Jesus can fix that. And the law points it out. He puts guilt upon our heart. He shows us that we need to make a change and that we need to do something different. And the only way to fix it is to come to Jesus. That's the whole point of the law, to lead us to Christ. And without the law, we would have no clue about holiness, about the holiness of God. And when God says, "Be holy, even as I am holy," we would wonder, well, what in the world is that? What does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? We wouldn't have any idea about sin. We wouldn't understand what guilt is. We would just go through life, living life any way we wanted to. There are many people who think the law has been done away with. They want salvation, but they don't want the law to be there pointing out their faults, their sins, their weaknesses. There are a lot of people that realize that they need salvation, but they don't realize that the lost condition they would be in without the law telling them that they need Jesus. Consequently, there are many people in churches today that are married to the church and not to Jesus. Can I say that again? There are a lot of people today who are married to the church and not to Jesus. They come to church thinking that the church will save them. The church is there to point them to the only Savior that you and I need, and that is Jesus. We're to uplift Jesus in all that we teach, all that we do. It is Jesus that saves us. And we can't do away with the law because it is the law that points out our need for the Savior, Jesus Christ. If we love Jesus, we'll love His law. We will love Him and obey Him in all that He asks. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us. In Romans chapter 15, verse 16, it tells us that. And it is the Spirit of God that will lead us into all truth. When we're confronted by great principles of righteousness found in the law, we will be convicted of our sin and we will see God's character clearly, and our character that will be formed by obedience to the law will be holy just like God's. You see that? We ask Jesus into our heart. We love Him enough to say, "Lord, what do you expect of me? What is your will for my life?" And God says, "Follow my commandments. Do everything I ask you to do." And you say, "Yes, Lord, I love you so much, I'll do anything you ask. I'll go wherever you lead me. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Just lead me with your Spirit." We won't be perfect. When we have become a saint of God, when we have accepted Jesus Christ, and we become this holy nation, these peculiar people that are set apart, distinct from the world, we won't be perfect, friends. We'll still have sin in our life that needs to come to Jesus and be confessed and forgiven. We will still be tempted by the devil, but God's grace will constantly help us to fight against those temptations. And the more we give into those temptations, the weaker we become. But the more we rely upon Jesus Christ to help us fight that battle, the stronger we become in His grace. You know, when men of God, like Isaiah and Moses and Job and Daniel, when they looked at God's majesty and they saw the holiness of His law, they saw their own unworthiness and how that contrasted to the purity and the holiness and perfection of God. And when the people of Israel, they began to worship Molech, they committed all kinds of sexual sins of the occult. They practiced all kinds of worship in the spirit world. They disrespected their parents. They ate all kinds of unclean animals. They did not keep the Sabbath anymore. They did every kind of bad thing they could think of. The devil led them down a path of destruction, and this made them unholy. They were defiled before God. And what that means is that they were morally unfit to worship the God of heaven. And that's what sanctification through God is supposed to be like. It's supposed to set us apart and make us holy like Him. God is calling for us to be holy. And God separates us from the world so that we will be wholly His, and not part His and not part the world. Because it's clear, friends, we cannot be half the world's and half God's. Because either we're completely God's or we're not His at all. Does that make sense? Yes. We have to be completely dedicated to God. We are to imitate His holiness by following His principles. You know, only in humble reliance upon God and obedience to all of His commandments can we be safe and secure. There's not a one of us can be safe for a moment without prayer, without Bible study, because the devil, like a roaring lion, is able to capture us at will. And without Jesus, friends, we become weak as water, and the devil can take us anytime he wants. And the only way we can fight against the devil and his temptations is for us to spend time with Jesus every day in prayer and Bible study, understanding what God's will is for our life. And we can be sure that if we're praying and we're studying God's word, that God is with us every moment of the day. We need to be praying for wisdom from the Holy Spirit so that we can understand God's word for ourselves. Listen, there are a lot of people that look at the Bible and they take things out of context. They misunderstand what they're reading. They don't study, they just tersely read. They never really do real study of the Scriptures. They take one little part of Scripture and they twist it into a theology. God has called for us to pray to the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding so we can rightly divide the Word of God. He's calling for you and to me today to be holy, because He is holy. Join me in prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would guide us today with Your Holy Spirit, that as we listen to Your word, as we pray, as we study, that You would make us holy just like You. Come into our hearts today, Lord. Give us that holiness that You have. Help us to be like You. Help us to be these peculiar people that are the saints of God, that are preparing themselves for Jesus' return. Help us to be ready for that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now today, as you are sitting here, I know most of you are familiar with the BibleStudyOffer.com. Our deacon is going to start passing these out to you. And could you give each person one today? I want you to pray about this, if you will. I was telling, I think, Tom at prayer meeting, that when I go to the store at Walmart, or if I stop at Taco Bell, or if I do some other transaction in town, at gas station or whatever, I carry some of these in my pocket. And I give them out to people that worried on me that day. And I pray about this, hoping that somebody will pick this thing up and go to the website and actually start Bible studies so that we can start to minister to the people in this community. And so I want to encourage you. This is not very difficult. We also have postcards, and they're out in the foyer. You can sort through the different styles that we have there. You could send a postcard to your friend or your relative or your neighbor if you're a little shy. Or you can hand these out to people if you have the courage to do that. And I would pray that God would use you this week to give one of these out to somebody you meet, whether it's in your family, a friend, somebody you work with, somebody you've just met. But pray that God will lead you, give you spiritual discernment, that you can share this little tract with somebody, and then pray for that through the week, that God's Spirit will encourage them to look it up and sign up for these Bible studies. And I hope that God will bless us as we begin to worship Him in truth and in spirit, and as we follow Him day by day, worshiping and working for Him.